In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It is often said that through the life of Jesus, the teaching of Jesus, through the way of Jesus, we have a direct window into the eternal heart and mind of God. And that's what the Christmas story is all about. But for some of the other people of the Bible, we don't have a direct window into the heart and mind of God. Rather, we have a direct window into ancient people seeking the heart and mind of God. And there's a difference there. And with that difference comes some relief. It means that we can glean lessons from people who are far from perfect still, such as Jacob. Jacob is always placed before us on this day, on Foundation Day every year. Always, always the Old Testament lesson for today is the story of Jacob's ladder. Jacob is possibly considered the icon of all the people in the Bible, the icon of human fallibility. And yet he was the third patriarch. It was through his 12 sons, it became 12 tribes, that the spiritual nation of Israel was shaped. And least in part, so much of what we have here is the inheritance of Jacob. So what I would like to do, before talking about the vision of Jacob's ladder, the text for today, is to just give a slight, brief Sunday school lesson on a refresher course on who Jacob was. Jacob was the grandson of Abraham and Sarah, the son of Isaac and Rebekah, the younger twin brother of Isaac. And it was prophesied to Rebekah while they were in the womb that there would always be enmity between Esau and Jacob, that the older would serve the younger. There would be conflict and competition. And so much so, even in the womb was this so, that Rebekah cried out, "If this be so, why do I go on living?" And when they were born, coming out of the womb, Jacob was holding the heel of his older brother Esau. And the competition, the enmity just grew from there. We have the famous story when they were grown and probably teenagers. Esau was the hunter, the favorite of his father. Jacob was the farmer, the favorite of his mother. And that famous story of Esau coming in famished from hunting. And there is Jacob with his luscious bowl of lentil soup. And Esau begs, but Jacob exacts the birthright from Esau as the price. And whether it was irresponsibility, naivete, or perhaps starvation, Esau gives in. And then the fruition of that fateful day came to be years later when the elder father, Isaac, dim of sight and thinking his life to be over, deemed that it was time to give the blessing to the elder son, the blessing of everything, the blessing in the name of the family, the wealth of the family, and most importantly, the spiritual leadership of the family. And so while Esau was hunting, it was Jacob who dressed in Esau's clothes, impersonated his brother before his father, deceived his father. His father, thinking him to be Isaac, gave Jacob everything. Esau comes from hunting and falls into a rage, vowing to kill his brother. And so quickly, Jacob had to leave the home after consultation with his mother and father. And he was directed to go to the north and stay with his uncle Laban until things cooled off. Little did he know it would be decades before things cooled off, and he would never see his mother and father again. And where we come to the story today is really fairly early in Jacob's life, after these great sins of deception, but way before other sins of deception, and long before his day of reckoning and what we would call his conversion and change of life. Running from his brother on the way to the north, he sleeps in the woods using a stone for a pillow. And in the vision, he has a dream, as we just sang about in that beautiful hymn, of a ladder connecting heaven to earth with angels ascending and descending. And he had a vision, in essence, God promising that he and his descendants would be part of that reconciliation between heaven and earth, that ladder. And that he would own eventually the land upon which he was sleeping. That his descendants would be numerous. And that God would do a great work through his line. And he woke up and he had enough sense of self to know that a holy thing had happened. And believing that the holy thing that had happened, the place itself was holy. So he named it Bethel, meaning the house of God. And he used that stone that he had had for a pillow to build an altar. He left there and went to the north. And when he got to the property of his uncle Laban, he saw this beautiful woman by the name of Rachel at the well. And he fell in love with her. And he loved her to the day he died. And he vowed to marry Rachel, his cousin. But his uncle was severe and said, you have to work 7 years to marry her. And then the tables turned. The uncle tricked Jacob. In 7 years, at the honeymoon, he realized he had married the oldest sister instead. He had to work another 7 years for the privilege of marrying Rachel. Worked more years for his uncle. But then he deceived his uncle. He became a very wealthy man through the years of working with his uncle. And through ill-gotten gain, he siphoned a lot of his uncle's wealth to himself. In the end of 20-some years, he decided to meet his fate and to go home and to face Esau. And he left his uncle, a very wealthy man, again, much through ill-gotten gain. And then he came to his place of reckoning, fearful that he would meet a sword, meet death upon meeting Esau at the Jabbok, at the coming together of two streams. We have the famous story of him wrestling all night with his conscience and with a stranger that we believe was an angel. And he wouldn't let go. In his tenacity, he wrestled and wrestled. And he was changed forever by that night. So much was his change that God changed his name from Jacob to Israel. And he goes and he meets his brother. And lo and behold, instead of meeting a sword, he meets open arms. For God had done a work in Esau's life, too, through those years. Esau had forgiven his brother. And the two were reconciled. And thus the life of Jacob. But we come back to the story of the Jacob's ladder. Earlier in his life, before all that, when he slept and had this vision, I mentioned two points that will bring us, not only to us, but to this parish on this Foundation Day, to teach us two beautiful principles of how this parish has worked for 171 years and why it just might have a future in God's mission. But number one, I was always struck that Jacob seemed to get a vision. He was blessed by God. And as a little boy studying this, I remember thinking, he didn't deserve that. He just cheated his brother, his mother, and his father. Why did he get a blessing like that? Well, we come to realize that maybe he didn't deserve it, but perhaps he needed God. Isn't that true with you and me? Sometimes we might not feel we deserve everything in God, but we need God. He needed the love of God. And also, God has a vision beyond human vision. We only see the present. We only see what is before us physically. But God sees not only the present, but he sees what we might become at a later time. He sees beyond our sin and our deceit and our imperfection. He sees possibility. And he saw in Jacob things that no one could ever see. He saw what he eventually might become. And he gave him this tremendous blessing. And as it was with Jacob, as it is with us. In 1848, Father Houghton, who founded this parish, went to the outskirts of town. This is where this was, the outskirts of town, where lived the poor, and especially a community of mentally ill. He wanted to build a church that is beautiful because he believed sacrament and beauty should belong to the poor, as for the rich. And he came here and he humbled his heart. The congregation lived faithfully, not knowing what was before them. Only God could know the future, but they were faithful. And lo and behold, a great history began to develop. Some things that were famous, the work in the Underground Railroad, the draft riots, the involvement in marriage, the ministry to actors. But many of the things that have been done in obscurity, forgotten after each generation has gone. But the church has been faithful. And the church has not always known what was around the corner, what was in the future. But God, as you saw in Jacob's life, could see the life of transfiguration. And God has been faithful as the congregation has been faithful. And so what's our future? What's our destiny next? We don't know. But may God, who sees the future, sees what we might become, direct us and guide us. And let us not search for just the famous things. It might be a faithfulness done in obscurity, but we are responsible for our faithfulness. Let God be responsible for the success or for the outcome. And then secondly, and this is a curious, beautiful thing that we see in the story. Jacob had this experience of God and he deemed the place itself holy. He made that stone that was his pillow. He built an altar. He believed that the place itself was holy by virtue of what had happened. And human beings have believed this since time immemorial. Think of the places around the world, Lourdes, Knock, the various places that where people have experienced God, and they believe that the place itself holds a holiness. And when people make their pilgrimage, holiness happens to them, maybe in a different way, but it happens. Just this week, there was an elderly woman standing before the bridal altar in our family chapel over there. Her grandparents had been married in 1922. And she was crying because she felt something. And it wasn't what her grandparents had felt, but she felt a holiness. And it wasn't magic. It wasn't superstition. It was holiness. The place is holy. And people make pilgrimage every day to this place with things that have happened and things that will happen. And so we as a congregation in this generation to be stewards physically this holy garden, these holy altars, this holy space. And God still works mightily. So may we give thanks on this foundation day that God sees us and gives us not just what we deserve, but what we need. He loves and adores this. And may God place his hand on this parish and guide us into the future, whatever that may be. And may we be faithful stewards unto that vision. Amen.